2 weeks ago, we wrapped up our sermon series, Between Two Realms. Today we are starting a new series, because this new series connects with the last one. I'd like to take a moment to reflect on the main point we learned before introducing where we are headed next. This reflection will be a bit long, because it will actually be the first part of today's message. In Acts, we saw large scale how God is bringing heaven and earth back together again, even in and through his people. I hope it's okay, yeah. Even in and through his people, the church. This wasn't a new direction or a change in God's plan. It was the fulfillment of what God had intended from the very beginning. Because our God is the God of all people. And his goal was never to bless just one particular group, but to create one eternal family for everyone in Jesus Christ. We saw how that promise is being fulfilled through the risen Jesus. The gospel goes out not only to Jews, but to everyone in the world, including us today. It breaks down walls of ethnicity, class, language, gender, and status. Because Jesus himself has become the new temple where heaven and earth met again. Now the Holy Spirit dwells in his people, and the church becomes that new temple. Not a building or an institution, but a living community drawn from every corner of the earth. This has been God's plan all along, to form a spirit-led, diverse, and unified family without boundaries, reflecting the love and grace of Christ. In this new humanity, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free. There is only one eternal family, the church, united in Christ. You might think that a church made up of just one particular group is fine, while there are other groups around them. But let's imagine churches like this. A church made up only of one gender. A church made up only of masters, or only of slaves, a church made up only of Jews, or only of Gentiles, and so on. Churches like that are basically saying to others, as Christians, we want you to meet Jesus, but not in our church. We only welcome people who think like us, live like us, and look like us. Unless you become like us, you will need to find another church. Sure, it may still be good and valuable for a particular group, and it can be compared to having no belief at all. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. My intention is not to say that it is totally wrong, but to invite you to reflect on this question, considering God's desire for all his people. My question is, in such a church, can you truly see the full gospel? Can you see Christ's love and grace in its fullness? You can clearly see that something significant is missing in those communities when it comes to reflecting the heart of Christ. Jesus desires a community that reflects a full gospel for everyone, where all the barriers among people are broken down and true unity in Christ is present. God continues to spread the same gospel through his people today. Through the church, God is still bringing heaven and earth back together, calling us to be witnesses to his love and a home for all his people. That's the vision that has been carried since Pentecost and still stands before us today. The church is not called to be a comfortable, close-up community that eventually shuts its doors because of exclusivity, but a bold and welcoming witness to the kingdom of God. We celebrated Easter together last Sunday. The resurrection of Christ has completely changed our destiny. Like the early Christians in Acts, we are called to be part of that Spirit-led movement, proclaiming Jesus and building a community where all people are equally loved, valued, and sent. In response to that call, we are also invited to live each day in the power and reality of the resurrection. That is only possible when the risen Lord is at work in us and through us. So here is a question. Are you truly experiencing the risen Lord in your daily life? Do you see him at work in and through you? Does your life reflect the power and reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Our new sermon series is Experiencing God. Over the next 8 weeks, we'll look at how we can become more aware of his presence, understand his will, and walk more closely and intimately with him in our daily lives. As Pastor Adrian and I prepare for this new sermon series, we refer to the book Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, who was a Canadian evangelical pastor and the former founder of Blackaby Ministries International. Let me start by explaining the image you see on the screen for our new series. On the far left, you see the risen Christ. Next to him is a tree growing strong and full of life. Then you see people living in today's world. And on the far right, there is a round image that represents God's glory. This entire image connects both our previous sermon series and the one we are starting today. It carries this message. Jesus rose from the dead, and ever since, many have encountered him, and his kingdom has continued to grow. Now, in our time, we are also called to be witnesses of the risen Jesus and to live for the glory of God. I hope this message reminds you of that calling as we continue in our new sermon series. Experiencing God and discerning his will have always been among the deepest desires for believers. But it's also been a challenge. Many Christians are not sure if they are truly experiencing the risen Lord as they long to. They wonder if their lives are reflecting the power and reality of the resurrection of Christ. You may be here today feeling like your spiritual life has grown dry. You love the Lord, but something feels like it's missing. maybe the days have started to blur together. And though you still believe, you wonder where the joy has gone. You probably heard others share powerful stories of what God is doing in their lives. And deep down, you might find yourself thinking, why not me? Maybe you are seeking directions. You've been praying, listening, and waiting. But it still feels like you're standing at a crossroads, unsure of what God is saying. You may be going through hard times now, facing loss, pain, or heartbreak. And you are left asking, God, where are you in all of this? You've heard that God calls every believer, that each life has purpose in his kingdom. But your everyday still feels like a loop. Wake up, do what you have to do, sleep, repeat. And you are left wondering, what is God's calling for my life? And why don't I know it? This brings us to an important question. Where do we start if we truly want to experience the life God promises? Henry Blackaby in his book outlines 7 key realities that help us recognize his presence, understand his will, and walk closely with him in our daily lives. Here's a brief look at the 7 realities. 1, God is always at work around you, whether you recognize it or not. 2, God pursues a continuing loving relationship with you that is real and personal. Our relationship with God is not distant. He always desires a close, personal walk with each of us. 3, God invites you to become involved with him in his work. He calls us to partner with him in the work he's already doing. 4, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. He is always speaking through these various means. 5, God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. When God calls, it often challenges us to step out in faith and trust him in ways we never imagined. 6, you must make major adjustments in your life to join God, what he is doing. Following God's call often requires us to change the direction of our lives and make adjustments. 7, you come to know God by experience as you obey him, and he accomplishes his work through you. As you obey God and follow his leading, we experience his presence and see his work unfold in our lives. In this sermon series, we will explore 1 or 2 realities or related topics each week together so that we may grow in our understanding of how to experience the risen Lord and walk closer with him in our daily lives with the help of the Spirit. Now we will focus on the first 2 realities, experiencing God through our loving and trusting relationship and his constant work in and around us. Here are important things we need to think about. At its essence, the Christian life is about knowing Christ and growing in him and being transformed into his likeness. But truly knowing God doesn't come only from studying with our minds or completing programs. Those things are valuable for our spiritual growth, but they are not enough, because Christianity is about a real, intimate, loving relationship with God. If you're married, think about how your love for your spouse has grown over time. You can't experience love alone. It always requires the other person. Love deepens through real encounters and through living, breathing relationships. It grows as you walk together, spend time together, and walk through meaningful moments side by side. As you come to truly know the other person's heart, the love takes deeper root. And it's when the other person becomes more important than yourself, when you desire to serve and sacrifice for the person, that love becomes complete. Now you delight in doing the will of the person you love and long to be with the person forever. So you can't really know love just by reading about it in a book. Love must be learned through experience, because love isn't just about what you know in your mind. It's about what lives at the very center of your heart and soul. So let me ask you, how often do you meet the Lord? What are you doing to grow deeper in knowing him truly through your loving relationship with him? Here's the other thing we need to think about. Let's go back to the example of love growing between a husband and wife. If one person is only focused on what they want and what they can get, the relationship won't grow. Sadly, many believers treat their relationship with God in a similar way. They approach God mainly for their own needs and desires. When that happens, the relationship won't grow, and they miss out on truly experiencing the heart of God. When you come to the Lord to seek his will for your life, how do you ask? Henry gave us two examples. Person A, Lord, what do you want me to do? When do you want me to do it? How should I do it? Where should I do it? Whom do you want me to involve along the way? And please tell me what the outcome will be. And person B, Lord, as you go with me, tell me what to do one step at a time. I'll do it. Very short. Which one sounds more like you? We usually want a detailed roadmap and ask God to give it to us. Honestly, I do too. And I love to having a detailed roadmap. But that is not the way he does. Matthew 4:18 to 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their net and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Jesus is saying to us, you don't need a detailed roadmap. Trust me. And you need to follow me one day at a time. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He didn't say, "I will show you the way. I will give you a detailed map. Or I will tell you which direction to go." He said, "I am the way." Jesus knows the way. He is your way. Jesus knows the way for you to go to fulfill God's purposes for your life. He knows how you can experience abundant life. This is what Henry says about it in his book. When you get to the place in your life where you must trust Jesus to guide you one step at a time, you experience tremendous freedom. If you don't trust him to guide you this way, what happens if you don't know the way you should go with your life? You worry every time you make a decision. You may become immortalized by doubt. This is not the way God intends for you to live. I have found that when I release my way to God, then I immediately respond to everything he tells me each day. He gives me plenty to do to fill every day with meaning and purpose. If I do what he says, I am in the center of his will when he wants to use me for a special assignment. My primary concern should not be, what should I do with my life tomorrow? But what does God want me to do today? As you follow Jesus one day at a time, he'll keep you in the center of God's will. It is like saying, "Lord, I don't need to see the whole path. I only need to see you, and I will follow you." This kind of daily trust and obedience doesn't happen automatically. It grows out of a relationship where love and trust are deeply woven together. Only when you have learned to truly walk with God, trusting him with every detail of your life, you can respond this way and truly experience him. Whether you see it or not, God is always at work all around you. He's moving, shaping, and redeeming lives, even when you are unaware. And he graciously invites us to step into his work with him. It's never about making our own plans and asking God to bless them. It is about opening our eyes and hearts to see where God is already at work and stepping in to work with him. The life of the resurrection truly begins when we stop trying to take charge and start trusting him in to lead us one step at a time. John 5:17. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." John 5:19-20. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son, shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." What Jesus is saying here is, my Father is always at work, and now I too am working. I do nothing on my own initiative. I do what I see the Father doing. Although Jesus is fully God, he lived in perfect dependence on the Father during his time on earth. He didn't act on his own ideas. He watched where the Father was working and joined him. This is how Jesus knew what to do. He followed the Father's lead. This isn't just a way for Jesus. It is for us as well. If Jesus, who is perfect, chose to follow the Father's lead, how much more should we do the same? It's not about a step-by-step guide to knowing God's will. It's about entering into a loving, intimate relationship with him, where we watch for what he is already doing and step into that work alongside him. We are called to follow his lead, living in the same dependence on the Father that Jesus demonstrated. God is at work all around us right now, in the details of our lives and in the world. The question is not whether God is working, but whether we are awake enough to recognize it and ready to join him. It's not about having all the answers, but about trusting God to guide us one step at a time. As we move forward, let's seek to live in that loving, intimate relationship with God, fully leaning into his presence and trusting him to guide us in all things. This is where we begin to experience the risen Lord in our daily lives for his glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel that saves us and unites us in Christ. We are grateful that you have called us into a relationship with you in love. Lord, help us to experience your presence daily and walk in the fullness of your grace and truth. We pray that our hearts would be open to your leading, that we may recognize your work around us and join you in fulfilling your purpose. Strengthen our faith and help us trust you every step we take. May we be bold witness to your love and grace in the world and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive these blessings from the Lord, who is always pursuing an intimate relationship with you. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you heavenly peace. All God's people say, amen.